Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. Today we're talking about a new report released by the Georgetown Law Center on Poverty and Equality. And this study reveals that black girls are viewed as being older than their white peers, less in need of protection and nurturing. The authors of this report, called Girlhood Interrupted, say this process is adultification of young girls. And joining me is the founder of a Chicago program called Girls Like Me, Lakeisha Gray Sewell, who's a well-known and unapologetic advocate for girls. Lakeisha, thank you for being with me.
Thank you for addressing this topic and for delving in. I'm honored to be a part of the conversation.
What is your opinion of this report?
I think it's factual. Mm-hmm. I think it is something that, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it is a report, and it is being used and was authored by those who obviously have an agenda or who have their own intention for it. But the reality is, and the very sad and devastating reality is, that it is reality for girls every day who have to deal with all of the things that were laid out, the being looked at as not being innocent, the being suspended, the being looked at as more criminal, more aggressive. These are things that girls have to navigate their realities through every single day, be it if it's interpersonal or if it's just through systemic policies. Mm. These are the things that oppress the girlhood of girls, black girls.
And so you mentioned the suspension. Listen to this. Black girls are 5 times more likely to be suspended than white girls, twice as likely to be suspended as white boys. Black girls make up less than 16% of the female school population, but they account for 28% of referrals to law enforcement and 37% of the arrests. Meanwhile, white girls account for 50% of the female school population, and only 30% of referrals and 30% of arrests. What's happening?
What's happening is that America is imploding on itself, and I believe that white supremacy has penetrated every part of our families, and what's left, the only vestiges that are left are to go after our children, and black girls are absolutely feeling the brunt of it. And I can tell you, Vicki, that I'm no shame of my age. I can tell you that at 41, these are the very same things that over 25 years ago I experienced myself, the aggressive suspension, the aggressive referrals and detentions, the aggressive disciplinary actions, the discrimination to even push us out of schools, right? Mm-hmm. That was my reality as a high school student. It's also the reality that I see with girls now, especially as in Chicago. I'm not sure if your audience is aware, but 54 schools were closed in Chicago alone in one school year. 54 schools are serving predominantly black girls and Latina girls. 54 schools that were obviously underperforming, but were also in this space of segregation. Mm-hmm. School systems here are based on, let's just say, predominantly white the population, the better the school services. So if parents are trying to find school options, one, because their school is closed, or two, because they want to have more competitive curriculum, they want more diversity, they want a better educational experience for their children, they are then forced to reckon with the very fact that they're putting their child into an oppressive and the very ideals that are found in this report, they're basically sending their children into this kind of aggressive territory.
So let's go to this part of the report that identifies when this significant bias starts. According to this report, when little girls are as young as 5,
oh yeah,
society starts to see them as needing less protection and being more grown. And, you know, sometimes I don't know that we help this, and we say, oh, she's fast.
Mm.
That type of talk.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you're seeing?
And we can say five because I'm sure this is where their research led them, but we can look in preschool. I don't know if you recall the story of the little girl who the teacher called the police on her because she said that she stole candy off of her desk. I've never taken anything off my teacher's desk, but I know plenty of people who did.
Sure.
And even from our parents, right? You want that apple that your mother told you you couldn't have, and then you sneak off and you get the apple before you are corrected and taught, right, at very early ages.
Mm-hmm.
We can also see this. You know, if we just go into a doctor's office, a pediatrician's office, right, and we see young black babies and their counterparts, we see that black girls are forced really to repress their girlhood, right? They can't play, they can't giggle loudly, they can't go and get all the games that they want to play with at once. They have to be very quiet and pretty much invisible, right? Whereas white toddlers are encouraged to explore, they're encouraged to take up space. And our girls are encouraged to collapse on themselves and to censor themselves, even at early ages as toddlers in pediatric facilities. Mm-hmm. This may be a report that is coming out, and you know, we use that term report and research, but this is absolutely devastating. It is absolutely the arrested development of our girls. And if we do not address this as more than if every news outlet, every space that has a platform, this needs to be front and center. We are killing the spirit of our future. Because when you have the arrested development of girlhood, this then impacts their children, right? Girls do grow up to become women, correct?
Correct.
And if you've done this damage to them as children, how much of it will then be translated into their children's lives, into their community's lives, into their families, into the spaces that they take up in terms of work and professionalism? This has a huge impact, not just to one girl, but to girlhood all over the globe.
I'm speechless because what you say is so critical, and you see it happening. To your point that it sets the tone for the rest of a young girl's life, this study found that by the age of 15, the playing field levels in the way that girls are perceived. Black and white girls are then perceived more along the same lines. But by then, the die is cast, as you pointed out a moment ago. What can we do?
I want to answer that, but I also want to say to that as well. Society may then see them on level playing fields at that point in time, but that girl, that individual girl, she does not see herself as on an individual playing field. Now she has to repair the damage that has been done psychologically and to her fundamental sense of being. She has to repair that. And there are not spaces that are dedicated to that repair. There are no spaces dedicated to the healing and to the consistent nurturing of that girl's spirit as it is being broken, as it is being vilified. So what we can do is, one, create those spaces while they are in it, not at the end of it, but while they are in it. Right now in their girlhood, our schools should have in place peace circles, should have healing circles. There needs to be more focus on individual self-worth and awareness. There needs to be more connection to history and history that has been made by black women and black girls. There needs to be intentional curriculum around these systems and these systemic prejudices, whether or not black girls are in your midst or not. So whether your school or your space is if you target or you serve black girls, it doesn't matter. You should still have a space dedicated to speaking about inclusion and speaking about the equity of treatment. You should have a space that celebrates all cultures, whether they are represented or not. And I also think that there needs to be more representation, right? So there needs to be more representation that we have got to break down the segregation that takes place in schools due to, and when I say segregation, not just race, but class as well, right? We know oftentimes black families have to make 2 to 3 times as much as the white families that they are near when they're in schools, even to get the access to it, right? I think that we need to do more to get girls in, to normalize us in these spaces where people don't see black girls. And the only time they see us is on the news when we're being pulled out and dragged out of a pool in McKinney, Texas. Or the only time they see us is on a fight video that's gone viral. They don't see us normalized. And if they any counter to that, then it's an exceptionalism, as in a Malia or Sasha Obama. There's no middle ground for us to be our black, beautiful, brilliant, creative, innovative, sassy selves. And so I think we need to be more focused on normalizing us. And I also think that in these spaces, there needs to be more women of color, black women, in administrative positions and in those positions that actually have the responsibility to dole out disciplinary actions and resolution.
There's a lot to be done, but your point that we need to reach them while they're in this girlhood mm-hmm. space is what I hope resonates with our listeners today.
I hope so, too. And I want to say, Vicky, that it's not just the job of people like myself who have organizations who mentor girls. It's not just the job of the schools. It is all of our jobs. It is our jobs as educators. It is our jobs as policymakers and elected officials. It is our job as media to make sure that we're creating a narrative that is inclusive, that is truthful, right, and representative of all of us. So I thank you as a person in the media for lifting this story up, delving into it, and hopefully considering a series to continue this conversation and even hearing from girls themselves to tell you mm-hmm. how this impacts their lives. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you as an adult woman, I can put it in perspective now. I can say that it made me stronger. I can give you all these rational outcomes that came out of my experience. But when I was in it and I cried for the little girl that I was, mm-hmm. when I was in it, that feeling of being powerless, that feeling of being discounted, that feeling of having to prove double time your mm-hmm. worth, it is the most crippling, the most anger. It makes you angry. And so you become an angry black woman. mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. so it's very real, Vicky, and I hope that we do heed the truth of it, and that we need to all hands on deck lift up our girls and heal them.
Well, in the village, we are on board. Lakeisha yeah. Gray Sewell, the founder of Girls Like Me, joining us to discuss this very disturbing report released by Georgetown Law Center on Poverty and Equality, saying that black girls are being adultified at mm-hmm. such young ages. The word itself shouldn't even be in the same sentence with
Absolutely.
A 5-year-old girl.
Yes.
And we'll be right back.